The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m. And time for So What's Your Story? The coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication studies at the University of Houston downtown, along with the absolutely indispensable Shannon McGurchy. This show is a model for community radio because we're charged with providing innovative, state-of-the-art programs that are essential to the community we serve. And stories, from tender personal narratives to fanciful folktales, are indeed essential. See, it's the storyteller's unwavering desire to communicate the story that makes the story, any story, and its teller and its listeners inextricably connected. When this connection takes place, the storyteller becomes an agent not of performance but of authenticity. The result is that every story is real. However, we at So What's Your Story do a lot more. See, we serve as a mechanism for enabling individuals to tell their stories, to share experiences in a media-rich world sans obstacles imposed by corporate sponsorship. You see, despite hosting a few professional tellers over the years, what we do best is to spotlight common folks with uncommon stories to tell. And then there are those who are extraordinary, especially our children. The ones I call intellectually ambidextrous, the ones that need to be heard, the ones in which we should be particularly proud. And my young, talented guest, 14-year-old Kenzie McKeever, falls under this very special category. Born during Tropical Storm Allison might help us to explain the reason her teachers flood her with accolades. You like that one? You like that one?
It's very punny.
You're supposed to laugh, yeah. And that includes her flute teacher and my wife, Peggy. Kenzie was raised in a storytelling home and points to that as one of the reasons she loves to read, write, and craft stories of all kinds. It was in the fifth grade when she began writing her own yarns. Along with cultivating her writing skills, she enjoys playing video games, watching anime, and writing book reviews for her school and public libraries. She hopes one day to become an author, a writer for television, movies, or even video games. She'll be entering Friendswood High School this fall, and believe me, they are very lucky to have her. Hi! You're finally here.
I am.
19,000 emails, and here we are looking at each other face to face. I love reading all of your stuff, by the way.
19,000.
Really, yeah, well, yeah, I'm exaggerating by just a couple, right? Now, listen, you don't mention the flute in your list of career possibilities. I mean, doesn't the flute fit into your future goals?
Well, I like to think of it more of as kind of a fun thing, more of a hobby, instead of a possible work type
thing. I got
thing.
You. You can't have fun at work. Is that what you're saying? I mean, work
no,
is not supposed to be fun.
Not really.
Yeah, I know. I got you. I understand. Yeah, this is a ball. This is a ball.
This is a ball. This is fun work.
But I'm also not getting paid for it, so I understand what you're saying. Now, listen, for what book did you recently write a review?
To name a couple, Mistborn, The Final Empire, The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making.
Great.
Throne of Glass and Serafina, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. I know your parents read to you nearly every night and helped to foster your love of reading. What were some of your favorite stories growing up?
Well, I remember my mom read me this one all the time called I Love You to the Moon and Back. And we read that all the way to the moon and back.
Yeah, that was a great story. It is a great story. It's a really classic children's story. Kenzie, one of the stories that you're going to share with us is about your dad and about a crazy birthday, your first story. And with Father's Day coming up on Sunday and you celebrating a birthday recently, happy birthday, by the way, right? It's a perfect tale to kick off the night. Tell us your story.
Well, my dad told me that on the early morning weather report, the entire city of Houston was blanketed of red. That shade of red that could only indicate one thing, a tropical storm. Only a few hours before the deluge began, I had been born, and luckily there were no complications. Though Mom and Dad were elated, they were also very nervous. With the streets turned into rivers, how would they get home? After another night of sleeping on the floor of the waiting room, my parents sat on pins and needles, anxiously awaiting the appearance of the doctor. To busy himself, my dad carried 5-gallon jugs of water up the unlighted flights of stairs to the other new mothers on the floor. After a while, the doctor appeared, and with the aid of a security guard and his flashlight, my parents descended the fire escape, newborn me in their hands.
Fabulous. Keep going.
Rain had always been a part of my birthday. Save for 1 or 2 years of my life, it had always rained on my birthday. One year, the rain I brought led to the overflowing of the Kamal River in New Braunfels, and the banks of which my dad and I had been lodging on. The morning of June 9th started with a loud knock on the door and a man with a towel warning us to leave immediately. Likewise, my dad told me to grab the most important things I'd need. Me, being the fledgling gamer I was at the time, grabbed my Nintendo DS, while Dad hurriedly gathered as much food and clothing as he could. And we tore down the steps and crammed into the truck, which was starting to fill with water instants before we drove off. We fled to higher ground and took refuge within a McDonald's until we knew it was safe to return. When we did, the entire place was a wreck. One kid even caught a fish in the pool. But all of the friends we had been vacationing with were perfectly fine. One good thing I do remember about that day was that the freezer in the lobby had gone out, and so the staff had to give all of us kids the ice cream they had, so it wouldn't go to waste. This flood didn't go on to ruin our entire vacation, however. Though half of Flitterbond Water Park was closed, we still had a blast when we visited.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, it's really important to say this. Your family is here. They're about 10 feet away watching you right now, right?
Hi,
in the
Mom.
Other studio. But you have to let everybody know who's here. Your parents and your step-parents are here. And that's important. Well, that's pretty rare, isn't it?
Yes.
That is pretty rare, and that's pretty cool, too. They're a loving group, and they care about each other, and they care about you, and they really focus their attention on that. You have no idea how rare that is. And that is a wonderful, wonderful story. And in many ways, it's testament to your family. And that's a great story about your dad. Your dad's a pretty cool guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm real grateful for having as good a family life as I can.
Yeah.
Right at this
yeah.
moment.
You know, it's really, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. This is Hank Rubicek and Shannon McKerchy with guest teller Kenzie McKeever on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or KPFT.org if you're listening online. But whatever channel you took to get here, I am glad you are here. Shannon, you're close to your dad.
I am.
Yeah, and, you know, he really is a sensational guy.
He is one of the silliest guys I've ever met.
He is, but he's also a great guy. And
yes,
silly.
He is.
Yeah, wish him a happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, silly man. You silly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I call him. That's my special nickname for him.
I have a story here that I have to share with everybody, and this is a story that I found in an anthology the other day, Stories About Dad, and I want to share it with you. This is a story, and I want to read it the way that it was spoken. So it might seem a little fragmented, but it's very touching. It's by a woman who talks about her father. And she says, "When I was a little girl, I remember that when my dad was repairing something, every time he asked me to hold the hammer, just so he'd have time for a conversation, he'd hold the hammer and talk to me. He had to have a tool in his hand because he felt that he was fixing something, and that would allow him to talk to me like I was a boy. I grew up and left home for college, and since then, my dad had been calling me every Sunday morning, no matter what. And when several years later passed, I bought a house. My dad was painting it by himself for 3 days in the 80-plus degree summer heat, and all he asked was to hold his paintbrush and talk to him. But I was too busy in those days. I didn't find any time for a conversation with my dad. 4 years ago, my dad was visiting me. He spent many hours putting together a swing set for my daughter. He asked to bring him a cup of tea and have a talk with him, but I had to prepare for a trip that weekend, so I didn't have time for any long conversation that day. And then one Sunday morning, we had a telephone talk as usual. I noticed that my dad had forgotten some things that we discussed lately. I was in a hurry, so our conversation was short. A few hours later, that day, came a call. My dad was in the hospital with an aneurysm. Immediately, I bought a ticket for a flight, and on my way, I was thinking about all those missed occasions to have a talk with my dad. And by the time I've arrived at the hospital, my dad had passed away. Now it was he who did not have time for a conversation with me. I realize how little I knew about my dad, his deepest thoughts and dreams. And after his death, I learned much more about him and even more about myself. All he ever asked of me was my time. And now he just, he's in my mind every day, and he has all my attention every single day. He's just not here, but he is in my heart. And I had to share that with you. It's a sad story, but you know, our dads, our moms, we celebrate Father's Day and Mother's Day for really important reasons. And the only thing that I can say is that having conversations with your dad is one of the most important gifts that you'll ever give him. The idea of sharing thoughts and ideas and sharing love and hugs, winks, whispers, you have to keep doing that. And I wanted to share that with you, and I wanted to share with that all of our listeners to have a great, great Father's Day coming up. And I think that the wonderful story that Kenzie just shared with us is a great way to kick off that weekend. Now, Kenzie, you like interesting things.
Yes.
And, yeah, for example, you like the Astros in first place. Now, would you still love them if they weren't in first place? Because there's a chance they may not be.
Well, I'd like to think that they will stay in first place, but I've liked them for a long time when they weren't.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. I really am interested also in your love for 80s rock bands, right?
Yep.
Okay, now what is it about 80s rock bands that you find so appealing?
They don't really use all those, all that technology. All that technological stuff. It's just them.
You mean they actually play music? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah!
They play music. There's lyrics you can understand.
Yes.
Instruments. Is that what you're trying to suggest?
That is, I love that.
They don't mumble.
No.
They don't slur.
They don't.
We understand them.
Yes.
There's rhythm.
Yes!
Thank you very much. Okay. These are called adults. Can you say that? Adults.
Adults.
These are adults, yes. These are musicians that actually know what they're doing. And I'm so glad that you said that.
Huh.
All right? There are some good musicians.
Does that make me
now.
An adult too?
No, not really. Not really. It just means that you recognize an adult when you see one. And
okay.
I really appreciate that a lot. How about special songs? Any of those come to mind?
Well, I would say probably my favorite song, Foolin' by Def Leppard. It starts...
You like Def Leppard?
I like Def Leppard. I've seen them in concert.
Nobody likes Def Leppard.
What?
No one that I know of likes... It's sort of like, who's an Arizona Cardinal fan? You know what I'm saying? You
now
know
that,
any of
that's
them?
Funny.
So you don't know any of them, and you don't know anybody who
well,
likes Def Leppard.
They're
in the same category.
Well, I mean, you should go over to that other room and talk to my dad. He likes Def Leppard.
Oh, he's a jock. What does he
know?
You know, he likes Def Leppard. He probably likes Arizona Cardinals.
No.
So you like Def
Well, he
Leppard.
Likes the Cleveland Browns.
What does that mean? Is there anything wrong with that?
No. We love the Cleveland Browns.
No, there isn't.
Cleveland Browns
all.
Are awesome.
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, so just
oh,
watch
oh,
what you say.
I'm sorry.
See, yeah, I know. Listen, your next story.
Yes.
Okay, since you don't know anything about football.
I do
your next
know
story,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time. Now, your next your next story is a chapter from your most recent writing, and you call it The Brief Chronicles of Saria.
Yes.
And Saria is?
The protagonist.
The protagonist. Is that you? Is that you, kinda?
Kind of.
Yeah. But what inspired you to write this story?
I don't remember what initially sparked it, but I remember my friend and I were sitting down at lunch, and she played this song, and it was called Imagination Forest, mm-hmm. and it reminded me a lot of the thing in this... what our character goes through in the story.
Great.
I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be fun to write that down?
Yeah. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. Saria awoke with a start. The morning's medley of red, orange, and golden light streamed through the wide glass doors to a small balcony and thin white curtains and into her room. A nightmare, she thought? Well, even if it was, I can barely remember what it was about. Frowning, she crawled out of bed, knowing she wouldn't be able to go back to sleep, knowing she had some sort of terrible dream. Not that this is any better, she brooded, looking around her relatively small bedchamber. Bookshelves dominated the opposite half of the cylindrical room, and countless volumes of various series of textbooks and novels lay strewn messily across both the floor and the wooden table set before the miniature library. Saria opened the window door with a heavy sigh, sweeping past the delicate swaying curtains onto the tiny veranda. It was quaint, as it always and was most likely continue to be. A single metallic chair and table topped with a romance novel sat, along with Saria, behind an intricate stone railing, the inanimate sentinels keeping her from satisfying her curiosity. A curiosity that lusted for the world beyond that balcony, beyond her room, or rather, prison, beyond the boundaries of her father's white castle and the kingdom itself. But, once again, she slumped defeated into the chair, the night chill still lingering in the morning mist perforating her skin as she did so. Their wet touch comforted her in an odd way. She gawked at the rising sun, as she normally did, yearning to stand atop the jagged peaks in the distance as the daylight star rose over them and admired the day's beginning that way. If only, she longingly thought, as her green eyes slowly drifted to the waist-high railing. She lazily fingered the cover of the book on the table, debating whether or not to reread it for the 12th time. She decided against it, instead content to reminisce on how she had become a prisoner in her own home. For 14 years of her still-starting life, she had walked outside, greeted the morning, one of her only friends, and gazed at the flowering courtyard gardens, knights practicing within their dusty training yard, and bustling activity beyond the castle close. 14 years. That is how long it had been since she last stepped foot out from within her goddess-forsaken bedchamber and looked upon the blooming petals of the plants in the garden, or the embrace of a floor not carved of cold whitewashed bricks beneath her feet. After her mother and older brother had been claimed by a deadly epidemic when she had been 3, Zarya's father, mad with grief, locked her away in that very same room she sat in now. She knew it better than the others within the castle, she at least wagered with none but herself. Her father was insane. Sometimes she pondered why she bothered continuing on, enclosed by inescapable rock walls, and what might happen should she choose to leap over the marble railing. There won't be anyone to take up the throne and put things back together once my mad king of father steps down, a more logical side of her always chastised, causing her to elect against the idea. Though, on the occasion, she wondered if ending the royal family then and there would prevent one of her descendants from a similar fate. Time and time again, she declined, thinking to herself, if the goddess truly will it, so it shall be, no matter what I do. With thoughts of solving the problem herself discarded, she would instead hope that someone would appear to grant her tyrannical father the peace of death and free her once and for all from her plush prison. 14 years had gone by, and not once, save for the few instances she considered throwing herself off the balcony, had she ever stopped wishing for an army to appear to cast down their corrupt ruler, or an assassin to slink through her room on the way to slay the insane monarch, or simply for an uncertain future to knock on the door and open it. She stared out over the horizon, the slight breeze tossing her golden blonde hair in carnation pink nightgown. Her bright green eyes glossed over with desperate tears and whispered, "Please let it be today." Sorry, I'm thirsty. The day dragged on. Morning gave way into afternoon. Sari had just changed into a lavender dress and sat down in the hand-carved oaken chair she had nearly every day to page through a heavily illustrated book that detailed the flora and fauna of the land. It had always been among her favorites due to its many colorful pictures and detailed descriptions of numerous unfamiliar things. This, however, was also the book that inspired the most violent emotions of burning desire and a crushing dread. Of course, she wanted more than anything to experience the nature this book mentioned dozens of times, but was discouraged every time, knowing it was impossible. It was only the distraction of reading and the baseless hope that our fate may knock, knock, knock. An unexpected and shockingly loud sound startled Saria, making her drop the book on her foot and yelp in both shock and pain. For a moment, she thought she had finally gone sane, like her father. 14 years alone in a room could do that. Knock, knock, knock. The sound was so irritatingly loud, it was unmistakable. This was the real deal. Yet, the door was locked on both sides, she knew, and only one servant out of the hundreds within the castle had the key. That left Saria without an inkling of an idea what to do. She scrambled around, trying to pick up the books off the floor, attempting to distract herself from thoughts of the mysterious visitor giving up his pursuit and unceremoniously departing and dooming her to another decade of captivity. Saria tried desperately to will that not to happen, and, as if the goddesses had heard her resounding plea, the lock snapped open, and with a grand whoosh, the door swung open. She reflexively froze intense stunner bent over position, both scared and excited simultaneously. She stared at the newcomer, slowly rising from that admittedly uncomfortable position with eyes wide. He seemed just as frightened as she was, matching her own stunned green gaze with his own blue one. "Is this it?" Saria thought, happiness floating over her. "My salvation? Has my wish finally been granted?" She opened her mouth to hopefully stammer out a word of thanks, but no sound came out. Suddenly, a torrent of red-clad soldiers spilled out from behind the man, who, in truth, was only a year or two older than her, who had opened the door. They viciously grabbed her, binding her arms and gagging her mouth. Saria put up almost no resistance. If only they knew she wanted to leave that room for years, maybe her departure would have been a little less rough. Regardless, however, she was fine with it. For the first time that she could immediately recall, she took steps outside her plush prison and shed joyous tears. End scene.
All right, very good. How long did it take you to write that?
I don't remember. Yeah. I think I sat down and just did it all in one night.
Yeah, have you ever read that before?
Out loud?
Yeah.
Well, once to myself, but
other
people, no.
I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the difference between reading a story in spoken form and reading it to yourself. I want to talk about that in just a moment. You are listening to guest storyteller Kenzie McKeever on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Kenzie, I love the writing samples that you sent me, and they're very descriptive and very engaging. And boy, this story really does fall under that category. But I'm curious, how do you feel about sharing a story in spoken form versus in written form? In other words, what do you think you have to do differently when you share it openly like that?
You have to inflict a little bit.
Right. Yeah. It's not easy.
You can't with the words on the paper, mm-hmm. you know, when a character starts speaking.
Right.
But when you're speaking it, you actually got to change your voice a little bit so that you can tell.
Yeah.
And if there's multiple characters, then you got to do different voices.
Absolutely. You know, with storytelling, you really take people on a journey. You return them safely to the present. I say that almost every show because it's true. And you also have to paint a verbal picture, and that picture has to come to life in your mind. Now, you do that very well. You do a great job at letting that story unfold, and that's what I really find impressive more than anything else. But again, you are an excellent writer, a wonderful, wonderful writer, and I wonder if there's any author after whom you model your work.
Well, I would say I want to be like Brandon Sanderson, who wrote one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. What he does is that he creates that beautiful, that scenery, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. but he also gives you an emotional tie with the main character, which he had like two, I think, in that book. And to the point where their interactions with the scenery just blend.
Right. That's a great insight. Shannon, I'm going to ask her, Shannon's on the phone right now, but Shannon is a great writer, and when she gets a chance, Shannon, I wanted to ask you, how would you characterize Kenzie's writing?
I would say that was a little bit of a Lady of Shalott meets Game of Thrones.
Mm.
That's
very
what that
good.
Reminds me of.
Yeah. All right. Good insight.
Sorry of
very
Shalott.
Good.
Well, the
you
Lady
connected.
Of Shalott.
Yeah. Very good. Yes. Listen, listeners, when you get the chance, take a look at our new program site at www.sowhatsyourstory.info for updates, photos, and more. And if you've got comments on program ideas or anything really, just give me a holler at drhank@kpft.org. Shannon, I wonder if you would be so kind as to tell everybody what makes our incredible So What's Your Story Facebook page worth visiting.
Well, I feature so many things where it comes anything from, well, anything that has to do with storytelling, as well as great events around town and around the state.
And you are a great writer.
As well as, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I don't actually put my writing on there besides what I, you know, find about storytelling in general.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to feature our fabulous tellers every week.
Yeah, and speaking of that, tell us a little bit about our next week's guest, Ben DeSoto.
Well, Ben, he has spent a lot of time. He is a photojournalist who spent many years at the Houston Chronicle, and now he does it on the side, but he has been working on this giant project called The Quiet Storm of Reform, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. he's a director.
Right.
And he He works on documenting the plight of the homeless here in Houston.
Great.
And so he collects their stories to share them because
love it.
We need to hear these stories.
Love it. Yeah, we really do. We really do. Also, the Houston Storytellers Guild, our proud sponsor, meets the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray, and is unconditionally the best place to learn to tell and listen to stories. I know this is a lot of stuff to sort, but Shannon is going to get all of these sites, emails, blackmails, whatever, and numbers on our Facebook page, the one-stop place that you need to know all. Okay, a few questions for you. Some writers feel that readers or listeners, if the stories are told, ought to get something from their stories, and others don't really care if people get things from their stories or not. And I don't really know what category you fall under. I think it's probably the second most of the time. But to what extent do readers or listeners matter?
Well, the purpose of writing, of telling the story is, you know, to get it told, to kind of get it out of your head so you can go on. And so the reader's there to act like they're listening and just kind of pay attention and be like, oh, man, and if they get something out of it, then kudos to you.
Right. Yeah. What's the current state of literature right now? You have an opinion about what's going on in the world of books today?
It's a lot about money. It has to do a lot with that. I mean,
does that mean that there isn't a whole lot of good stuff out there to read?
You know, I've read some current stuff, and really, I think it's more about like stretching it out to get as much money as possible with multiple volumes instead of actually crafting a story that's...
Right. Yeah, a number of years ago when my son was about your age, a little bit older, it was summer, he was going to camp, and we walked into a bookstore, and I said, you can choose any book you want. He said, oh, great, okay. But he walked over, and he looked through the books, sifted through them, and he said, Dad, all of these guys are dead. I said, exactly. Just think about that. They're all dead. Get it? Yeah, there are no live authors that are really worth reading. Aww. That was his perception. That's obviously a stretch and an exaggeration, but there are a lot of people who agree with you. The current state of literature, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Any shout-outs today? Anybody you want to say hello to before we get off?
Well, first off, happy Father's Day to both my dad and my stepdad who are out there listening. I love y'all. And then, of course, to everyone... all my family and friends who are not here with me, who are listening, you know, Priya, Allie, Brookie, Emily, Masha, Sasha, Kasha, Anthony, Alex, Nick, Zach, Sarah, Faith.
The entire
everyone.
City.
Right. The entire city of Friendswood.
Yeah. Hey, did you have a good time?
I did.
And it went pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's been said that the world is really shaped by two things, stories they tell and the memories they leave behind. And I just want you to know, Kenzie, that you really do shape the world into beautiful images, and you transfer them into some of the most colorful and memorable stories I've heard for some time. I wish we had more time, and I think we'll do this again.
Oh, okay.
If it's okay with you.
I'd be pleased to grace you with chapter two.
Yes, there you go. It's a date. Thank you for your undeniable creative energy, striking wit, enviable persona. You're nothing short of remarkable, and I enjoyed so much having you on. So much. Scooter's up next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story, and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after.
Remington College is urging people in the Houston area to donate blood at its upcoming Three Lives Blood Drive, a national effort to recruit minority blood donors and help supply local hospitals with blood. The effort has resulted in more than 12,000 pints of blood collected since the program began. That's enough blood to save more than 36,000 lives. Why focus on minority blood donors? According